Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of GBB Live. I am your host, Parker Fleming. You can find the GBB Live podcast on the Grizzly Bear Blues Podcast Network alongside the Core 4 Podcast, the 3&D Podcast, and the Starting 5 Podcast. You can find those on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Megaphone, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. And Grizzly Bear Blues is a blog under SB Nation. Find it on the web at grizzlybearblues.com or on Twitter at SB and Grizzlies. And so Joe's not here today, but I got a great guest for y'all. It is Grind City Media's own Devin Walker. Devin, what's up, man?
What's up, man? How you doing, man? Thanks for having me on the pod. You know, I'm always down to talk Grizzly basketball, so I'm glad to be here.
Absolutely. No, thank you for joining. You know, I wish I had all the nicknames that Chris gives you on the show off the top of my head, but it's all good. Well, on the last show with Jeff Calkins, I started out with a little fun fact about Jeff and I, and just a fun fact about Devin and I. We actually went to rival high schools. He went to Houston High School. I went to Carville High School. But, you know, I think both schools are pretty much on the come up. I mean, Carville has a big fancy new school that's like a college campus, and then Houston's a juggernaut basketball team with Mike Miller as the head coach.
Yeah, man. You know, they play each other Friday, right?
They play each other Friday?
Yeah, we got an off day. So you know where I might be, man.
Shoot, that might be a move. But yeah, for sure. And for one, before we really get started here, we're recording this before the Rockets game, and this is the first game that they're allowing MVP season ticket holders to be there. So, Devin, what do you think about fans finally just being back in? Is it just kind of like a new vibe around the office today with that in mind?
I mean, it's pretty dope, man. I was just in the team store, just kind of during the day I do the show, the Vernon show, and I kind of just sit around the office and get stuff done on social for the Grizzlies. So I kind of like walk around when I have a little dead time, and I was in the Grizz Den, and there was fans from Springfield, Missouri, who drove down from Springfield, Missouri to come watch John Morant. They're wearing John Morant t-shirts, John Morant jerseys. So just to have that kind of vibe in the arena is going to be amazing. Because our guys, they're young guys, they're energetic guys. To be able to feed off the crowd will be pretty cool. Because, I mean, they haven't played with fans since March.
Right.
I mean, because at the bubble, we didn't have fans. Early in the season, we had maybe like a small amount of fans, like friends and family. So they really didn't create that atmosphere our guys were used to. So, I mean, tonight it's gonna be different because I got used to being kind of quiet because we had music and they playing in the arena, not that much fan noise. But I'm kind of excited for tonight to see what the fans are gonna bring because we have the best fans in the NBA. So looking forward
to it. Yeah, I'm honestly just really looking forward to it for guys like X and Dez just because they haven't had that experience yet in the NBA. They had that March Madness experience cut out for them in their last college years. So I'm just really excited for those guys to really show what they can do in front of the fans. And you know, just a little bit of normalcy is always nice. Yes. Even though it's just like 2,000 fans, really, it's still just going to be very surreal to be able to not have as much pumped in fan noise, actually have like authentic noise. It's gonna be really cool. One thing I do want to ask you, Devin, is I mentioned that you grew up in Memphis, like you went to Houston High School, and now you're the social media manager for your hometown team. Is that just surreal? Like, what are your feelings around just being able to work for your organization and really play a big part in it too, and running the social medias?
Yeah, it's a dream, man. It's a thing when you come up in this, in the city, where you have basketball kind of instilled in your DNA from day one, you know? Where mm-hmm. when you grow up, you watch the Derrick Roses of the world, you watch because when I grew up, I was into the Grizzlies, but it was more so like I would see them from a distance, like the Mike Conleys and the Tony Allens. And then as I got older, I kind of got more into it. So for me to be running social and being like hand in hand with these guys and work with these guys on the daily, see how they operate, see what their DNA is, it's a dream, man. Because for me, it's all about finding your niche. I feel like when you're working and you're trying to find your way in this business. And for me, I found my niche really early. And I think it kind of benefited me being my dream sport that I played in high school basketball, being combined with my niche, which is social media. When we add the Memphis vibe in there, it's kind of like a match made in heaven. Because I think when people follow other brands and other teams, they want an authentic feel. They want to feel like that person's connected to the city or the organization, or they feel like they can relate to that person. And I feel like I bring that vibe where when you read our captions, when you read anything that we do, it's like, okay, this person's from Memphis, or this person is connected to the city in some kind of way. And it makes people gravitate to our page even more, because they know it's not just a robot, or it's not just an intern, as they say, behind the account, pumping out captions, pumping out content. So like I said, it's a dream come true, man, because my personality is Memphis at all times. And I give credit to my bosses, Kerry, and everybody else that I work with on the daily, to kind of give me that freedom to make our voice of the Memphis Grizzlies as Memphis as possible. So it's a little bit of me, and more so with them kind of giving me the reins and giving me the freedom to be as Memphis, as they say, as possible.
For sure. Yeah. I always like your references to Memphis hoops. I grew up in the hoop circuit a little bit. I played a little AAU. I played in high school a little bit, but just those captions where it's like, you have to be a real one to know, like the Desmond Bane 3-pointers ones. I was like, yep. I like kind of had the mental in my head. I was trying to see if I could find a video to where I can like get one of his clips and add the sound to it. But I think one of the unique things about your experience in this team, in this city in particular, is, you know, this Grizzlies team, they're next gen. And in a way, you're like a next gen social media guy. You're about, how old are you? You're 2-3 years older than me. You're 26, 27?
Yep.
Okay, yeah. So you're getting to grow into the job with these young guys as they're growing up in the league. So, like, do you kind of see it as that? And do you just kind of see it as just, like, you click with the team because you relate to what they do, what they like, all that stuff?
That helps my job, bro, so much, because when I talk to the guys, we're listening to the same music, watching the same kind of shows, and we're kind of vibing off the same thing. So when I talk to them, it's like, okay, we're on the same wavelength. So like I said, it makes my job so much easier, because sometimes when older social media people, they try to connect with their players, and it doesn't really hit, you know? And you can tell there's not really a hit. And if you look at our content, our guys, they understand what my job is. And that kind of helps a lot, because our next gen guys, they're 21, 22, 24, 25. They've grown up in social media. They know what social media is. They know the benefits of social media. So when I'm standing there with my phone, they know this is going on social media. So they're more inclined to communicate with me and interact with me, because they know Devin's a social media guy. Devin's going to put this on social media. So like, when, to your point, it helps so much, because they know they trust that I won't, for me on social, I will never ever put them in the light where they're kind of made fun of or looked down on. I'm always here to promote them and promote the brand and our team, and even a little bit of petty. Like for instance, like last season when Bam Adebayo walked in the arena wearing Kendrick Nunn on his shirt, the Rookie of the Year, that shirt. Ja is a petty guy.
Yeah.
Ja is a guy, like our brand is kind of petty, to be petty to other teams and make, because it's the Memphis in me. Like, I'm not going to let anybody talk down. If we're winning, we'll let you know we're winning. If we're losing, we might throw a little stab out there just to let you know. Shout out to Indiana. Shout out to Hoosiers. But when Bam Adebayo wore that shirt, one of our guys let me know. He's like, bro, look at this. We got to say something. We got to do something. So to have our guys, like, let me know, like, bro, we got to – We got to do something. And to understand the social media impact and how much influence it has, it helps my job so much, because that was one of our best tweets of the year from last season, is us reacting to Bam Adebayo's Rookie of the Year shirt. And that didn't come from me. That came from one of our guys. Look at this. I know you have a meme for this. Bet, I got you. So, yeah, that helps so much, man. Our guys are in that age group where they know the influence and the power of social media.
Absolutely, for sure. You really hit on it with the pettiness. I know the thing that came to my mind was the Andre Iguodala stuff after, I think it was Mark Giannotto asked about Iguodala's situation at Dylan Brooks, and then it just kind of escalated, turned into this big fire. But no, it really just makes the Memphis Grizzlies social media experience and Grizz Twitter just a really good one, because you have the players that are active. Like, you have Ja Morant, you know, quote tweeting stuff and being petty, but also too, just like interacting with the fans.
Yes. And that's my big thing, man. Like, when you talk about Grizz Twitter being a part of the experience, for me, I know it's about the fans. I know it's about people. I know it's about crew, about bringing people behind the curtain of what they can't see on the daily. So for me, I try to make sure, like, I blend a lot of my tweets. I put Grizz Twitter. Like, I want to connect with Grizz Twitter, because I know those are the people that are, they're building our brand and help to kind of push our brand to another level. So, dude, anytime we're, like you said, interacting with our fans, because the fans are the reason why we're good at what we do. So I try to make sure I connect with the fans as much as possible on social.
Absolutely, for sure. And I know, just like kind of bouncing off of that and what you were talking about, like the players, like they like collaborate with you on ideas and stuff. And one thing I notice is also too, is how they interact with you and your brand. And, you know, like they're retweeting your stuff on your personal brand and they're replying to you as well as the Grizzlies social media. Just knowing that the team's got your back, whether it's your personal brand or the team's brand, that has to add some extra confidence to you as a social media manager, right?
Yeah, 100%, because it lets me know, like, the guys rock with what I do. They know that the guy that runs the social is not a cornball, you know? He's not a guy that – he's not just doing this for the brand or doing this for social media. It's kind of authentic of what he does. So that, like I said, that gives me confidence. Like, anytime our guys, like, come to me and say, yo, that caption was dope, I have had an instance where one of our guys kind of joked on one of my captions. And he said, bro, Devin, come on. So it kind of goes both ways with, like, Devin, come on, bro. I'm like, okay, my bad. So it goes both ways, where it's fun and loving and joking, but it also, like you said, it gives me confidence to kind of do my job and keep, not push the envelope, but like kind of not be afraid to go get out there. Like, if I know a guy, for instance, if Jaws, his name gets dropped in a song, I'm going to use the lyrics from a song in a job highlight. Or if Jaren's like a aspiring rapper, Trip J. A lot of people don't know his nickname is Trip J. So, of course, we're going to use that because of my relationship with our guys and our captions to make fans feel like they're a part of the experience. And they're like, oh, Trip J. Oh, Jaren, this. Oh, like, so I think that the fact that our guys connect with me, and whether it's personal, whether it's on our team social, it gives me the most confidence in the world. Because it's like, if our guys rock with me, then I'm pretty sure our fans are rocking me, kind of thing, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. And just one final question on your job and your role. I know Joe was really wanting to know this, is what are some like best practices as a social media manager when, you know, you have the angry fans and the mentions, or even better yet, the trades that you get added at on the main account? We're like, hey, at Memph Grizz, y'all need to make this trade. Dude. What are some of the best practices in dealing with that?
You know, it's called swipe. It's called swipe past it. Like, I see some of the craziest trades, man. For some reason, Grizz Twitter is like, I don't know how it is in other markets, but I think Grizz Twitter leads the league in like trade machine, hypothetical trades. We need this guy. We need this guy. For me on the brand side, dude, we just swipe by it. And if it's something hilarious, we might interact with it. But other than that, it's just like we see it. We see the hypothetical. Like, okay, that's goofy. Swipe by. Or we might even like, if it's the most ridiculous, we might find a way to work it into a tweet sometime in the future. So I don't know, man. It's just one of those things. Like, you just it's a part of the experience. It's a part of being a social media manager. You're gonna have fans being passionate and wanting guys to be on the team, or wanting guys to be this, wanting guys to be that. So it's just a part of the experience, man. For me, I just swipe by. I laugh. Like, there's been a couple of trades. I'm like, dude, come on. Like, seriously. And I'll like look at it. I'm like, okay, come on. And I just laugh about it. But we don't really like, as far as interacting with trades, we don't really look at it or touch it from a social media standpoint.
Yeah, I know from a content perspective, I gotta every now and then come up with the trade machine stuff. And
yeah, man, y'all are the king.
Yeah, I try not to at y'all or anything because I'm like, okay, I know Devin's not making the trades, and unless you got something to tell us, you're not taking those to Zach or Tayshaun. So
you know what's crazy, dude, and that's another point you bring up. And I don't know why I didn't say this from the jump, but I don't think people realize that it's a person behind the account. Like the person that's sitting behind the computer is not our front office, like checking our mentions and see what the fans are trying to say with trades. It's me. It's Carrie. It's our social team. It's humans. Like it's us, you know? So when they say like fire this person, or they say trade this person, or they say at Mem Grizz, this person's trash. I mean, who do you expect to respond to that? What do you expect? So to your point of that, when people add us, when they say like this person's trash or take this person out the game, bro, we're not coaching. We're not making subs. We just get these tweets off. And now that I think about it, I go back, I just kind of circle around. But the best practice for me when it comes to not trades, when it comes to fans saying bench this person or play this person more, or why isn't this person starting, or why did the person take this shot? I usually respond of, bro, I just send the tweets.
Mm-hmm.
I just use the word. I'm like, just let you know, this person just sends the tweets. We don't really make any decisions. We just make the memes, man. We just make the memes and send the tweets.
Absolutely. And that's just a perfect chance to ratio them all for content.
Ratio gang, man. Ratio gang.
For sure. Yeah. So we're going to take a quick ad break here, but on the other side, we will get to our question of the day. All right. So I want to give a shout out to the 97 fans in counting who have voted on the question of the day. And so Joe only put four options here, but Devin, obviously the rest of the team's fair game. So it was, which of these players is the most underrated member of Next Gen Grizzlies? And the options were De'Anthony Melton, Dylan Brooks, Tyus Jones, and Grayson Allen. It was very neck and neck with Tyus and Melton. It was like a 36 and 35, and then Brooks and Grayson were tied at 14.4%. But I really just, one thing I always try to ask people, you know, like when I'm ever having to interact with, you know, other people in the Grizzlies media or other people from other SB Nation sites is, who besides Ja and Jaren do you like? And do you think it's like very underrated or like you're very high on their game? So Devin, I just want to ask you is, who is the most slept on Next Gen Grizzlies player?
Slept on is a good question, man, because I think people are slowly starting to like get on the De'Anthony Melton train. Mm-hmm. I feel like we were high on the people that watch the Grizzlies every day, they know how important and how impactful De'Anthony Melton, that they call him the grind son or the next Tony Allen kind of thing. We knew how important he was. He was like the mixtape that everybody that you listen to, that none of your friends listen to, but then you try to put your friends on and they didn't want to listen to it, but now it's becoming a thing and they're like, oh, that's the one you told me about. So De'Anthony Melton, he was that guy last year. So I think it's the most slept on because D-Mel's starting to kind of get some traction with the Grizzlies, with Grizz Twitter, because people, they see a lot of Tony Allen in him. Even Tony Allen himself, he said, like, we have him on the show every Tuesday on the Vernon show. He sees so much of him himself in De'Anthony. I call him a Super Saiyan Tony Allen for my DBZ fans out there. Super nice. Saiyan Tony. So, Tony with a jump shot. But as far as slept on Grizz, I'm gonna go deep for this one. And he's on the poll. He's a name on the poll. But I think, man, if you're a Grizzly lifer, if you're a full lifer, as they say, shout out to Drewski, who you talk about us connecting with the culture. He retweeted us a couple games ago. Tyus Jones. The Grizzlies, in the history of the Grizzlies, they never had a backup point guard that when either Mike Conley sat down or any Grizzly point guard from the past, when they sat down, you kind of held onto your seat to pray and hope that things didn't fall apart. But Tyus Jones, man, when he gets on the court, you know that everything's going to be okay. He had a season high, 14 assists a couple games ago. Him and Ja work like this. They work hand in hand. If you look, just look at the numbers, 12, 21. They do this. Mm-hmm. So they're mirror images of each other, except Ja has a little bit more bounce. And Ja's Ja. But I think as far as underrated Grizz, I think Tyus Jones maybe. Is Tyus Jones first? I think people are catching him with D-Mel, so I'll put him third. But also number two is probably Kyle Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
I think Kyle Anderson as a player, when you look at him, when he came to the Grizzlies, he was just he was a piece that was going to be a wing defender, a guy that can get to the rack. He wasn't going to average many points, but he's going to do his job. But with this next gen Grizz team, he'd kind of been pushed to shoot threes and be more of a three-point shooter and more of a scoring player. And he's blown up. Like, we talked about it earlier today. His highest scoring average as a player was 8 points. This year he's averaging 13. So, and last year he averaged 5 points a game. So Kyle Anderson, I think, is the guy he slept on because he does little things, you know. He does little things, and it's things that they're not flashy because of the slow-mo Euro, the slow jump shot. I mean, he caught a couple bodies, but like, he's not a guy that when Grizz fans say, oh yeah, I watch the Grizzlies, yeah, Ja, Jaren, BC, they won't say Kyle Anderson's name. So I think I gotta show slow-mo some love because he has a game that I think is very underrated within Grizz family and Grizz Nation.
Absolutely, yeah. I could totally relate where I think on that poll, I voted for D'Anthony Melton just because, you know, that jumper's coming around and man, his ceiling, like Super Saiyan, I didn't watch Dragon Ball Z growing up, so I'm probably going to botch the pronunciation a little bit, but that version of Tony Allen, that's so true. I mean, I know just reading around like Nashley and stuff, he gets those like Marcus Smart comps. And I remember reading somebody who said like, if that jumper comes around, like, I think somewhere between like Smart and Van Fleet would be like pretty ideal. And obviously with Tyus Jones, he's one of the best facilitators in the league, not like in terms of like volume, but just the fact of how he takes care of the ball, how he controls the pace. It's honestly in a way kind of reminiscent of Mike Conley, just how he just sets up his teammates and, you know, he really gets everybody in that right spot. I mean, you saw last year where the Grizzlies would obliterate people when they put out Tyus, Melton, BC. They would obliterate people. And you're seeing Tyus kind of come around a little bit, you know, now that he's back in his element as a backup point guard. But yeah, I couldn't agree with you more on just the steps that Kyle Anderson's made as a jump shooter. But also, I just think they're also figuring out how to use him as well. I think that was always the big problem, you know, like in his first 2 years is, okay, we had this slow wing. He's not really much of a shooter, but everything else he does is just like really good. I always call him middle class Ben Simmons.
Like middle like class Ben Simmons. I'm dead.
That's funny. Well, no, because I hate the term poor man's because poor man's means they're trash.
Yeah.
Like you still want a Kyle Anderson on your team. I just really like the steps that he's taken thus far as a player, and he's been really kind of an anchor for this Grizzlies team with how much he had to do with Ja out, with Jaren out.
For him to completely change his game, because like if you watch Kyle Anderson when he played for the Spurs in his first 2 years with us, he wasn't gonna take threes. When you swing to him on the wing, he's gonna hold it or he's gonna low pump fake and try to get to the rack. Right now, when it's a swing, when Kyle shoots it, you think it's going in. Like it's the evolution of Kyle has been like my biggest. I love it, man. His evolution, because as an NBA player, you don't have to be that guy. When coaches get fired or they bring in new coaches that want you to shoot threes, you don't have to say, okay, I'll do what I need to do, coach. He's the guy to like work with. It was a point last year where he would come in after games and then he would hold, it was our shooting coach would get on FaceTime and he would work on his jump shot over and over again because he wanted to be a better shooter. So I think for him, I admire his work ethic because he didn't have to change his game. But for the betterment of the team, he wanted to change his game and be a part of the Grizz Next Gen era. And he changed his game. He's a knockdown shooter. He does, like you said, he played point guard for us when Ja went down. So I salute Kyle Anderson, man. Like I know fans will say, oh, it's just Kyle Anderson, but he does so many things, man, on the basketball court.
Absolutely. Yeah, everybody always likes to point to the speed of his jump shot, but that snap on that wrist is like textbook. Like, if you're going to put out, you know, a DVD on good shooting form, you may not get the windup of Kyle Anderson, but that follow through is just textbook.
It's perfect, man. It's a perfect follow through. I wanted to use a meme recently where I wanted to put a what you sleep on, what I sleep on, and what y'all sleep on.
Exactly. Yeah.
Man. People gotta stop sleeping on slow mo, man. Smooth mo is what we call him. We upgraded him to smooth mo from slow mo.
Ooh, I like that. I may have to toss that on the GBB account. I'll give y'all credit, but
go ahead, man. Use what you got to, man.
For and sure.
That's another thing, like our social, like I feel like for us from a brand's perspective, I think we've kind of like kind of influenced everybody around us to like have fun, you know. It's mm-hmm. of course it's basketball, it's there's analytics, there's stats, there's stuff like that. But I think from a brand its perspective and our team perspective, people have fun on social now. People are posting memes. They're posting funny quotes. They're using different things. So I think just not us, but I think our team has kind of influenced the city to kind of be, to have a little bit more fun, whether it's social, whether it's within anything. So, man, I think that impact that the Grizzlies Next Gen era is having on the city is crazy right now.
Absolutely, for sure. It's definitely a fun time to be a Memphis Grizzly fan. And I'm going to close the show with arguably the two of the biggest reasons why there's a lot of excitement behind the team. That's Ja and Jaren. Obviously, there's so many comps thrown out. I mean, I've seen people from Bajad's, they say, oh, he has a little bit of Chris Paul, a little bit of Rondo, a little bit of Westbrook, Wall, D Rose, AI. And with Jaren, obviously, statistically, he's like kind of like a similar like Kristaps Porzingis, but I know a comparison that Joe Mullinax likes to use is 6'11 Klay Thompson. And so to close the show, Devin, I want to ask you, who do Ja and Jaren remind you of on the basketball floor?
Ja and Jaren.
Ja and Jaren. You know, I wasn't expecting that.
Ja and Jaren. I think when people will try to use comps and try to compare guys to other guys, I think our guys, Ja is unique in himself. I don't think there's ever been a guy from Ja's kind of what he does on the floor. I mean, we've had guys like Chris Paul control the pace, control the tempo, but Chris Paul has never been as athletic as Ja is. And you have guys like Russell Westbrook who are athletic as Ja, but they don't have that point guard instinct to kind of control everything. So I think when you try to put a label on our guys, I say they're the best Ja and Jaren that there is in the league. I don't, like I said, man, like those two dudes, they can care. They're gonna win a championship one day here, and I cannot wait to be a part of that parade, because it's gonna be a moment in Memphis that we will never forget, because they're two generational talents. Ja, who is, I think, there's no bias involved, is, and I've used this kind of term, I've used this kind of comparison on the Vernon show, because we want to compare him to a player who has the impact. He's gonna have the cultural impact on the game that Allen Iverson had, I think personally. Whether it's kids want to be like him. Kids are doing their hair like him. People are wearing the sleeve like him. They're wearing number 12 like him. They're dancing like everything that Ja does, we see kids kind of replicate. Other guys in the NBA are doing the goggles. Before Ja did it last year, we never saw anybody do this in the NBA. Or we saw the little boy. We saw Russ do the rock the baby, but we've seen more guys in the NBA do the little boy thing than ever this season. And where do we see that? Ja Morant. Yeah. So I think as far as impact goes, I think Ja is going to be the next Ja Morant in the NBA. And Jaren's going to be the next Jaren, man. Those are my two comps. John Jaren, or compared to Ja and Jaren.
I like that a lot. I really do. You know, I use like player comps. It's just kind of like a, you know, for my friends that aren't as familiar, it's like, oh, this person's a lot like this person, whatever. Yeah, benchmarks. Yeah, for sure. Or like ceilings of like, oh, I think this player could be this. But you're absolutely right, because when you think about it, especially with how Ja got to the league and his trajectory here, it's unlike a lot of from what we've seen. You know, we saw Dame and CJ and Steph do it, but Ja's a different player than those guys and how he attacks. And Jaren, I was telling my co-host on the Core 4 last week, like he hits shots and like step backs that nobody should do at 7 feet. He's like moving like Bradley Beal out on the perimeter. And there's not really a comp for that, because I think it's just a big part of the evolution of basketball in general.
Yeah.
Is a lot more perimeter based big men. I mean, we're going to see over the next few years really what that's like with some of these guys coming up. But no, I really like that insight. And I think people kind of get lost in that, you know, where the thing that drives me insane is when, granted, with like D-Melt and TA, that's understandable, but let's not put our guys in a box of just like, oh, let's compare them to former Memphis Grizzlies. Like, let them be them, and let them rock. I mean, they're doing their thing out there.
Email kind of he accepts it because he knows how beloved Tony is in this organization, in this city. Because so that's why for him, I think that's a for him that's a good comp. But like as far as like Ja, who's like a like I said, generation. And I think the only comparison I've ever made with Ja is his DNA of being loyal to where he's from, is to Damian Lillard. That's the only that's the only comparison I've ever made. And that's not his game. That's not what he does on the court. It's just his DNA. It's being loyal to who drafted him and loyal to the soil is what Dame calls it. As far as a guy who's a mid-major who was overlooked in high school and college and comes in the NBA and blows up. But like I said, that's not his game. That's nothing about his game. I think that's just more so his DNA of he has his family, he has his group around him that he's loyal to. He's loyal to the people that he knew from the beginning in the NBA. They're talking about Dame a little bit. And people always said, Dame, you should go here. Dame, you should go here. You could be better here. But he always stayed loyal to Portland. Mm-hmm. And I think that's for me, I think that's that DNA I think that Ja has is that loyal to the soil. My guys kind of came up with me. I'm going to stick to my guns no matter what kind of thing. So that's why that's the only comparison I ever make with Ja. Ja's going to be Ja for a player. But I think if you want to compare DNA and how they're brought up, I think that Damian Lillard is probably the only one.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. You know, Devin, I really appreciate you coming on the show. Do you want to plug some stuff in before you sign off here?
We'll plug some stuff. Hey, watch the Chris Vernon Show every day on grindcitymedia.com, on YouTube, on Spotify. Listen on Spotify. Listen on iTunes. Follow us on MemGrizz. Follow us on Grind City Media. You can follow me on my personal if you want. I really don't care, but you could do that. I'd rather you follow our brands because I want to – dude, like I said, I know people say, like, they want to uplift their personal brands. For me, I want to uplift the city any way I can, you know? Like, you talked about how I'm a kid from the city. I do this, I do that. Any way I can do to help the city, man, I love doing it. So follow our brands at MemGrizz, at Grind City Media. Show us some love. Show Megan Triplett some love. Show Michael Wallace some love. Chris Vernon, John Roser, Megan Triplett, Kelsey Wright Johnson, Jessica Benson. Show all my people some love. And keep following us, man. It's going to be a fun ride, I promise you.
Absolutely. Yeah, make sure you're following all the members of Grind City Media, including Devin. There's no other place like Grind City Media in the NBA as far as what they do, the content they put out. So make sure you're watching The Vernon Show, watching Rise and Grind with Jessica Benson and Megan Triplett, Just Grizzlies with Kelsey Wright Johnson. It's a good experience.
All the shows, man.
Yeah.
Man, have fun. And just tune into all our social because we promise to always have fun, bring good vibes, and always have a good time, man.
For sure. Yes. And for some of the GBB vibes, make sure you're following us on Twitter at SB and Grizzlies. Read all of our written content at grizzlybearblues.com. And make sure you're liking, subscribing, downloading, whatever you need to do for the Grizzly Bear Blues Podcast Network. You can follow me on Twitter at @Paka_Flocka. And you can follow the podcast on Twitter at GBB Live. That's it.